All right, later on in the show, we'll be answering any questions you might have as it relates to smart meters. Many, many have been rolled out now, but maybe you still harbour some concerns or want a better understanding of what it means. What's the advantage? What's the disadvantage? So we have someone on a little later on who, in fairness now, is a supporter of them, but we'll still try and get your questions answered as best as we can. Tilty here on the camera. Right, okay, we were on to the council and they say the council has been contacted with the or been in contact with the National Directorate for Fire and Emergency Management today, advising of the flooding incidents in the Rafoe Castlefin convoy in Killigordon area last night. I would appreciate if you could cover this piece. Okay, we did. A council spokesperson, though, is currently not available until later today. They will be because there is a council meeting on. And if you don't mind, and I said this on social media and I wouldn't mind doing so on the airwaves as well, we do know that our retained firefighters, and they're not just firefighters, our retained firefighters are in the process at the moment of trying to get a fair deal so that they can keep doing what they're doing in terms of protecting people and what have you. And they would have got the calls, the pagers, the phones would have went off on Saturday and straight into their units to go and assist in the public. And that's what they're all about too. So just keeping that in my mind over the weekend as they face their own challenges, but still are there to help the public out in their time of need. This is in relation to potential assistance available from the Department of Social Protection and the Department of Enterprise, Trade, Employment to assist respectively householders and businesses affected by this flooding event, and they may be eligible for assistance under a number of schemes. The roads emergency number is 074 917 2288. Okay. Why isn't the flooding news heard on wider media channels? We truly are the forgotten country. I did see it on the BBC News, BBC Northern Ireland, in fairness. I didn't watch RTE, so I didn't see it over the weekend, nor the other one, Virgin. So I don't know what level of contact they had. I know I was contacted by a couple of people on RTE because I was trying to get the message out in social media. And what happens is all of a sudden you become interesting because they want to use your information. So I didn't reply because I was too busy. But I don't know if they had, if they got anyone on the ground eventually, but I wasn't available to do that work for them. Very surprised councillors hadn't that problem sorted in Rafoe. It's even happening a lot where planning is got, but water is flowing out onto roads, causing flooding. Great making rules, but nothing at all enforced. Hi, Greg. There is no emergency protocol or prevention work in Rafoe and wider areas. Flooding is a fact of life now. The roads have been in a disastrous state for years. The drains are collapsing under the roads. For example, this summer, a dangerous hole drain opened up under the entrance to Montgomery Close. This summer, the local authority said it was the responsibility of the estate to fix. Ridiculous. This is no action. There's no action from the authorities. Why the town is collapsing, says Lisa. Thanks, Lisa, for your text. Yeah, I just don't understand why we don't have now. Yellow warning. There was a yellow warning in place. Just to be absolutely clear and fair, there was a yellow weather warning in place for Saturday. And the weather models and all that language that you're familiar with showed that there would be a certain amount of rainfall. Then something changed and a red warning was issued, but too late on. But not so late that something couldn't have been done. The rain at its level wasn't forecast, as I say, until very late because, and I've spoken to people independent of Met Eireann as well. In fact, Alan O'Reilly from Carlow Weather, he doesn't have skin in the game, right? So I asked him, actually, do you know what the best thing to do is to read my communications? Because as I say, I think this kind of information is important too, and perhaps important to be fair. So I asked Alan, was this level of rainfall forecast? And he said, no, was way out, so it wasn't forecast. And the rain seen in Rafoe was red level. The yellow warning was issued very late in the day. The weather models didn't show that much rain until close to it, but still a very late warning was issued. And then he went on to say that adaption is an issue. He says, I keep trying to raise, we talk so much about cutting emissions, but so little on preparing for floods and extreme weather. And indeed, that's something maybe we could speak to Alan O'Reilly about, because that is important. If we spent as half the time that we talk about trying to prevent these things as to how we deal with them, I think that would be beneficial as well, wouldn't it? But we are going to be seeing these events. We need emergency protocols in place, lines of communications that kick in. A caller says, they're doing a greenway from Castlefin to Lifford, costing £7 million. Should be spent on upgrading our towns like this for 60 years. As I went to school, Sandy Row was flooded. The country's awash with money, pardon the pun, and I really understand where you're coming from. But there is nothing with the right intention. There's nothing to stop that greenway from Castlefin to Lifford being built. And also, flood prevention, proper flood preventions, or at least interim flood preventions being put in place in the towns and areas that we're talking of now. But I do understand exactly what you're saying, and I'm not in any way disregarding what you're saying. A caller says, rather than plan for sandbags, it's essential to improve drains, road flood defences and maintenance. I agree 100%, but my point is that people have called for, they were doing it on social media, please, anyone, can you get sandbags to Castlefin? You have to understand that people are, their houses are about to get, what you know, full of water with poo in it, right? And businesses know that if this water gets in, we're not opening for 2 weeks. So you can imagine, if you're not in that area, you close your eyes, you can imagine what that must feel like. So they're panicking. And they're saying, putting on social media, has anyone got any sandbags? They shouldn't have to do that. There should be a central area in these places that has a pile of sand. And you know what? If it has to be replaced every 6 weeks, well, then so be it. A pile of sand that is there with dry bags. You know, it can't be beyond us. I see piles of chips and stuff on the side of the road for where ice forms. And it's there from one end of the year to the next. Now, I mean, obviously sand would have to be covered, but there aren't people going around stealing this stuff. There's no excuse in my view. And it's not really for me to say, is it? I don't know. Yes, it is. There's no excuse, is there, for sand and sandbags not to be put in place in the case of an emergency. I get where you're coming from. Yes, we need essential work to improve drains and what have you. But people also need, emergency. If I'm wrong in a few from those areas, please let me know. Patrick McGowan, like the rest of them, chatting a load of BS. The council not fit for purpose. All the county managers, council talks about is property tax. Two more before we take a break here. Hi, Greg. Rafoe is totally neglected. I'm not from Rafoe, but I went to Rafoe during the winter months when there was bad ice and snow, when there was not one bit of grit from Kilross Junction to Rafoe. It doesn't surprise me that this has happened in Rafoe. Where is the councillors this morning? Heard Patrick McGowan, but where's Martin Harley and the rest? All they're good for is talking. Well, Frank McBurtie's on the news, speaking to the news team, and also I think I heard Martin Harley. Now, just because you're not on this program doesn't mean you're not talking about it either, to be fair. So we're trying to get different voices. So the newsroom was speaking to Councillor McBurtie, Martin Harley. We've spoken to Councillor Doherty and Councillor McGowan. It's just who's available at what times, by the way. So in fairness, just because a councillor's not on this program, it doesn't mean that they're not worried about it, because they've spoken to the newsroom too, and those interviews are available during the news bulletins now. But we're trying to not double up on voices all over the place. I hope that makes sense. Listening to that Fianna Fáil councillor talking reflooding is just all talk. I'm sure he means well, but I've got to mention the present Fianna Fáil housing minister and how he's dealing with the concrete block crisis and the housing crisis in general. These people have failed Donegal for many years. That's the view of one listener there. Okay, we're going to continue our coverage of that. As I say, plenty more to come on the show as well. Stay right where you are, and please, it's not too late. If you want to talk about that issue or anything else, take out your phone. I understand some of you would be too upset this morning to talk, and that is fine, but maybe talking might help. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. 074 91 25,000 if you wish to speak to Caroline and Niamh on the calls, on the lines as well there too. Right, just to let you know, by the way, if I could just get it open here, that if you are in the Inishowen area, there is a boil water notice. I just want to read it out here. Following consultation with the Health Service Executive, Ishka Aaron, Irish Water, and Donegal County Council have issued a boil water notice to protect the health of approximately 8,900 consumers supplied by the Inishowen West Public Water Supply and Carn Donna Mixed Public Water Supply due to operational issues at the water treatment plant. This is something we're following up, by the way. The notice impacts all areas supplied by the Inishowen West Public Water Supply and Carn Donna Mixed Public Water Supply, including Carn Donna, Glenealy, Mallon, Clonmany, Ballyliffin, Urris and Glen McKee public group water schemes and surrounding areas. So this is really quite significant. A boil water notice for all of those areas, 8,900 consumers supplied by that. That's properties, by the way. That's not individuals. And that was released on the 23rd. I didn't get that, but as I say, I'm just trying to relate this information. We'll try and get someone on from East Erin. Seamus O'Brien's quoted in that press release. No one's available to talk about 9,000 properties. No one's available from... I better watch what I say, but 9,000 consumers are affected by a boil water notice, and there is no one available to talk about that to try and get the message out. That is, as far as I'm concerned, absolutely remarkable. Right, okay. Lawrence, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Well, I wish I wasn't speaking to you again in the nicest possible way, Lawrence, because you have been affected by flooding again. Talk to us about your experience over the weekend.
Yeah, well, on Saturday, you know, I'd been threatening the flood all evening, all day, really. And but the neighbours, in fairness to them, and they're only for them, again, I would have been flooded. I had a couple, two sandbags at the door, but no, I was trying to keep the water away. And then the neighbours, they got alerted to it, and they come and put up barriers outside at the road. And there's one drain just directly across the road from me, and that's the first time I've saw it now over flooding and coming out and coming across the road and trying to get into my doorway. And then the rest of the water went down the road. So obviously there's more volume of water coming in this particular drain, and the pipe across the road is not able to take the water away. So we had a visit this morning from Charlie McConlough, Minister for Agriculture, and Patrick McGowan came about a half eight this morning, looked at the situation, and just said something would have to be done. And I think they're going to have a meeting with some of the senior people, maybe engineers in Donegal County Council, and take it from there. But on Saturday night, then we, from what, 5 o'clock on to midnight, neighbours, they were out on the road just doing what they could. And we're all in fear then that it, because it forecasts more heavy rain from 11 o'clock on Saturday night until 5 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning. And nobody could get any sleep, living in fear just. So something will have to be done about this flooding just.
Yeah.
It's occurring too often now.
And you're living in fear every time you look at the weather forecast.
Living in fear, yeah. Every time it's forecast heavy rain again now for Wednesday, and the barriers are out here, and we can't even lift them to take them in because you don't know. And just sometimes the heavy rain comes without warning, and that's what happened on Saturday evening. The last I was watching the flood on the drain past me here. Going up and down sort of all evening, and then the last heavy shower that was, I'm not sure what time, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock maybe, that just overflowed the drain across the road from me and out and down the road. And again, into some of my neighbours that have been flooded before.
When did you think, Lawrence, when did you think it was clear that it was possible that this water was going to break out and flood? Like, at what stage of the day was did you look at it and go, right, I'm in bother here?
Yeah, well, just maybe before the last big heavy shower, because I've been watching the flood rise in this particular drain, and I knew it couldn't take very much more, that it would have to be out across the road, and the garden across the road from me, it overflowed just, and there's a fence, and it ripped the stones away from the posts and everything, and it just covered the road, and people, you couldn't walk on the road against the water. It would have been nearly a foot high, and that was just the full breadth of the road running down. And then up above me, the part of the road that was washed away before, it started to come down then, and we had to put out more sandbags. We only had two sandbags, and neighbours had to fill gravel and stuff into bags of their own. And in fairness to all the neighbours, the same neighbours that helped the last time, they were all there, even from early on in the afternoon, looking to see what the situation was going to be like later on.
But
that
that's my point, you see, Lawrence. What I don't understand, and again, I'm sorry to labour the point, is why we don't have an early warning system. Like, early in the afternoon, locals who know the area were concerned enough to say, right, if there's much more rain falls, we're in bother here. At that point, yeah, if there were sand and bags available locally, people could start making the best fist they could to try and protect their property and what have you. But that's not there. Yeah. I don't understand why we have continuous flooding events and we're not even doing the basics to try and protect property. Because look at the amount of money this is going to cost now to people. But even if the state helps, it's going to cost tens and tens and tens of thousands of euro. Some sand and some bags could help to reduce that. I don't know. I find it quite frustrating, Lawrence, to talk about it, because I think there's stuff we could be doing that we're simply not doing. And it's the likes of you and our earlier callers that have to pick up the pieces. And that is very, very difficult for me to bite my tongue on.
Yeah, and I was trying to point out to Charlie McConlogue this morning and Patrick McGowan, where I could see a solution, but finding the money. But then seemingly they have enough money to do some of these jobs, but they're not getting around to doing them just. And in order to alleviate this drain across from me here, they can put in extra pipes further up the road that will alleviate the water situation. And I don't know why they're not doing it. So my first letter to Donegal County Council was in 2011, and I've been flooded ever since. And the road has been ripped up, and I just don't know where it's going to end up.
All right, Lawrence. Listen, sorry for not getting to you before 10. Thanks for taking the call.
No, that's fine, Greg. And I want to thank all the neighbours just over the airway again that came to help. And some of my neighbours not able to sleep at night, and myself included. No, I've got a dose out of it, because I was out on Saturday night, yep, soaking wet to 12 o'clock, and it's not good enough at this stage.
Well, me and you can't keep talking about the good community spirit that helps you, and you going through flooding and the impact it's having on you. I love talking to you, don't get me wrong, Lawrence, but I'd like to talk to you about something else. This is getting all too regular now.
Yeah, something a bit more positive.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. But listen, thank you, Lawrence. I hope you don't get a bad dose out of this now. But thank you very much for joining us. I do appreciate it.
That's fine. Thank
all
you,
right,
Greg.
No problem,
good
Lawrence.
Morning.
And good morning to you too.
All right.
Fair play to you. And fair play to Lawrence's neighbours again. And it's like Groundhog Day, digging him out there. Right, Leonard is of Hair by Leonard in Raphoe. Leonard, how are you? No, that line. There's a wild crack on that
I'm
line.
I'm fine, Leonard. Thank you very much,
Leonard,
Greg.
Is there any chance you could hang up and we'll try and reconnect? There's an awful... It sounds like you're on a motorbike, Leonard. I'll come back to you. Stay... hang up there, and we'll call you right back. Sorry about that. There's a blah, 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 blah. That's line two, in case you want to pick another one. So we'll take a very quick break, actually, whilst we line up. If you still want to get involved in the conversation, please 086 60 25,000. Right, okay. We have Leonard back with us. Leonard, good morning. Hello, Leonard. No, we don't have Leonard. Okay, sorry, we're just putting Leonard through. My bad. Okay. A caller says, until rivers are dredged and water can flow in them, flooding will be a problem. My understanding is, when I say my understanding, sorry, I was informed by a couple of people that said that there are rivers in that area that used to be dredged relatively regularly but are no longer dredged. Why do these flood prevention schemes take so long to complete? In Buncrana, we've been told it will take 7 years, but the council was able to fix Swans Park in a few years, living in fear since flooding in 2017. No flood insurance. I presume it's planning. and all the hoops that one has to jump through. Swan Park, was it a case of restoring that to its former glory, which perhaps wouldn't require any additional planning? I don't know. That would be my suspicion. Leonard, sorry, are you there now?
I am indeed, Greg.
Listen, thank you so much for joining us again, Leonard. You're of Hare by Leonard in Raphoe. What was your experience at the weekend?
Well, Greg, Saturday night, the first reports were on social media. I was at home. I'd finished my day's work and it was late on, and I'd seen the pictures that were emerging, and it was like, it's like something you see on television. You don't actually believe it's the place that you work and it's near where you live. It was surreal, to be quite honest, seeing a river flowing down past where you work. So unreal.
In terms of the damage, whilst you didn't get a ton of damage by water, obviously the mess and smell it leaves behind, is that how you've been impacted in your business?
That's correct. That's exactly it. The damage, yes, there was damage, but it was minimal compared to before. But the mud, the smell, the fact is that I'm a self-employed person, it's crucial that the salon's open so that I can conduct my business and look after my clients. The reality is, it's a mess. The smell, as was spent all day yesterday, I'm up here today, I'll be here tomorrow, and I'm trying to maybe try and get open before the end of the week. I don't know, the floor might have to come up. It's unpleasant. I know, don't get me wrong, it could be a lot worse. There's other people have been impacted much worse than what we have been, and I'm grateful that it wasn't as bad as it was.
But that being said, I appreciate you being so thoughtful of others, but Leonard, as you say, you're self-employed, this is your only source of income. You are potentially out of business for the week. Hopefully you'll get open. And again, just like we said earlier on, when you do get open, let us know, and I'll give it a plug as well, Leonard, just to be fair, because I don't want to be...
What I would like to do, Greg, is I'd like to thank the people of Raphoe, and especially my neighbour here, William Hyman, that came in. I mean, I wouldn't have known where to start. Mm. The place was an absolute mess. I felt like crying, and, with an inch of mud. But when you have good neighbours who come in and with their buckets and their mops, and they start pushing everything away, and you start to get a glimmer, it gives you a wee bit of hope. And I was very... I have a lot of gratitude for my good neighbours and the people who are at home. And that's all been well.
Has anyone contacted you in terms of, where you can, if equipment can be given to you, maybe, dehumidifiers or humidifiers, whatever is required to dry it out? Any lines of support from government or local authority? Did anyone check to see or call around with a clipboard to assess what the situation is like? Have you had any support in that regard?
Nobody offering any equipment, but we did have the Minister, Charlie McCullough, here earlier on. He was very sympathetic, and he did say that if there was any material or any help that I needed, that his offices were open for that, and I was grateful for that. But no, I'm trying to operate here as best I can myself. I'm a resilient person, and I'm used to sort of trying to get things up, and I don't like asking people for anything, really. But I have to say that people have been good, and as I say, the fact that some media have been here and put a spotlight on it's a reoccurring thing, and I know that the council have been doing their best and have been done remedial work on the drainage infrastructure, and that has helped an awful lot since the last bad flood. But the reality is it wasn't suffice. It wasn't suffice, and it's reoccurred, and it has reoccurred, and there needs to be some, I'm not an engineer, but it wouldn't take a rocket scientist to know there needs to be a strategic plan, something that with someone will sit down and look and see, look, this is happening. and it will keep on happening until a real serious approach is taken to it.
Okay. Thanks very much for your time, Leonard, and I hope you get open ASAP. Leonard of Hare by Leonard in Rafoa. Callers based in Carn Donagh and says that they got a boil water notice over the weekend. Wants to know if we can get someone on from the council to explain what's in the water and why it has to be boiled before drinking again. Unfortunately, Irish Water or the council, no one is available to explain what's going on with the water, why it has to be boiled, what's in the water, what happens if you drink the water. Not everyone's going to hear that there is a boil. In fact, I'm going to go over it again because it's just so important that people understand what's going on. I don't want to over-amplify it, but I don't want anyone drinking water that should not be drank. So let me just go back here to get the details. Okay, so the boil water notice affects almost 9,000 consumers, 9,000 properties supplied by the Innishowen West Public Water Supply and Carn Donagh Mixed Public Water Supply due to operational issues at the treatment plant. Don't know what that means. So the notice impacts all areas supplied by those two areas I mentioned, those two supplies I mentioned. They are Carn Donagh Mixed Water Supply, including Carn Donagh, Glenee, Mallin, Clonmany, Ballyliffin, Urris and Glen McKee, the public group water schemes and surrounding areas. Iska Aaron has, I don't know why they just don't make someone available to come on and speak about it. It's a really long press release. Vulnerable customers who have registered with Iska Aaron will receive direct communication on this boil water notice and are reminded that the water is safe to consume once boiled and cooled. Water must be boiled for drinking, drinks made with water, preparation of salads and similar foods, brushing of teeth. You're not allowed to brush your teeth with this water. Making of ice, discard ice cubes in fridges and freezers and filtered waters in fridges. Make ice from cooled, boiled water. Really significant, affecting 9,000 people. And as I say, it'd be very useful, I think, if someone from the council, or preferably Iska Aaron, Irish Water, made themselves available to help us try and get the message out there so no one's impacted by this. Anything to say on that? 086 60 25,000, WhatsApps and texts, or call 07491 25,000. All right, back shortly. Okay, we've literally hundreds of messages that you've sent in. Thank you so much for it. We'll get through just about as many as we can over the course of this morning. But we want to talk about an important information evening that takes place tonight, the 24th. It's at 7 p.m. in On Green and Hotel Burt, and it is on the Defective Concrete Blocks Scheme. We're joined on the programme now by Lisa Hone, who is chair of MAG. Good morning to you. Thanks for joining us, Lisa.
Hi, Greg. Thanks for having me on.
Now, in terms of what's going to be discussed tonight, do we have enough information about the scheme and how it might work and who it might work for to be able to answer a lot of questions that might be posed at this meeting this evening? Or will a lot of the answers be, well, we're going to have to wait and see?
I think it really depends on where people are at with regard to whether in the scheme or just, you know, whether they've applied or not. We've been getting inquiries recently with people just, you know, feeling just a bit overwhelmed, quite frankly, and just not knowing where to start. I mean, there's been a lot of information put out recently, but it's in big document form. So we've got ministerial guidelines, 80 plus pages. We've got FAQs, that's another 50 pages. We've got regulations, which are not an easy read at the best of times, 122 pages. So what we've tried to do with this meeting is really distill down the very essential elements with regard to the scheme and present it to people in a very digestible format. So we're not going to go into the nitty-gritty of every type of scenario that could exist, but we'll try and give people a really good insight into how the scheme works, what the roles of the different authorities are, who you'll get communication of, you know, so it's sort of the essential element. So hopefully that will give people a good insight. We've also been trying to liaise with some of the key authorities to try and get where the latest information is on all this. And you're quite right, Greg. There may be some areas that we just can't answer questions on because, quite frankly, that information at the moment just does not seem to be available.
See, a fundamental one is whether or not you progress at all in this scheme and retain your own foundations. There's still no decision on that. We don't know when that might be forthcoming or what that might be. But we heard from the CEO of Donegal County Council, who, you know, can only express his opinion. And I don't want to misquote him or paraphrase him incorrectly. But, you know, it was along the lines of, look, if you can change your foundations, if it were me, that's what I would do. So on a fundamental like that, there's a big choice for people to make. Do I progress and hopefully, you know, move forward in this scheme and retain my foundations? I don't know how many people have money to that would have money to do that themselves. Do you know what I mean? And I'm sorry, I don't want to be a problem maker or cause Elisa, but that's just the first thing comes into my head. Do you know what I mean? On a fundamental here.
Yeah, it's a really valid question, Greg. It is absolutely fundamental. And, you know, I was speaking at the housing committee just over a week ago, and we laid out in very, very plain terms all the concerns we have with regard to how the scheme stands at the moment. I mean, I don't want to get people the impression that because we're putting an information evening together, that this is somehow an endorsement of the scheme as it stands. It's certainly not, because we certainly have very serious concerns, and we are pushing and pressing all the time to challenge the way the scheme is at the moment. But in the same breath, we're still getting inquiries from people in terms of, how does this work? So I think at the moment, information is key so that people can get a comprehensive view of the reality of the situation. And there are some really tough questions. I know that, like, speaking to homeowners directly, they are taking different routes forward. Some are saying, I'm going to try and strip my foundations out. Others are talking to builders with regard to maybe raft foundations. Others are talking, you know, like there's various kind of practical things that homeowners are trying to do. It may not be the absolute perfect solution, but we've got homeowners who, quite frankly, their back's against the wall and they almost have to try and find a way forward. It's really unsatisfactory. It's really frustrating because the government should be taking a far more precautionary approach and helping the homeowners to do that.
Yeah, it's just, and this is not a Lisa Holm or Mag thing, it's just here we are again in a situation whereby if you've got a few quid or access to it, if you're young and you've got a few quid in the bank or whatever, yeah, you might get your house back because you'll be able to dig into the savings or take a loan that you can feel you can manage. It's not ideal. But if you're older, if you've got no access to finance, if you've had to skip mortgage payments because you're renting somewhere as well, if you're a single parent with children with special needs, and I'm actually quoting people that have contacted me. This is, it's almost heartbreaking hearing us talking about a scheme that's progressing for some, because, and this is not a criticism of those that can move in the scheme, and I really hope people know me well enough to understand that, but it's almost gaslighting I would argue perhaps the majority that look at this and go, I can't do anything on this at all. Do you get where I'm coming from, Lisa? I know you get it, by the way. I do know you get it.
Yeah, I mean, Greg, you're exactly voicing the most serious concerns that we have. And we have voiced these concerns and pressured government in every way possible to address this. But this is a lack of due diligence on behalf of government. They have made a very conscious decision that the supports will not be in place for those people who need assistance because maybe they're in a vulnerable situation, maybe they're in a complex situation, maybe they don't have the finances available. It is very, very unsatisfactory. We do not endorse the scheme as it stands at the moment because it is potentially leaving behind those who are the more vulnerable. Okay. In our society.
At that meeting you addressed, a senior civil servant, a senior government representative, says it was the view of the cabinet and the government that this is a 100% redress scheme. You would have seen the clip. You were there. You heard it live. Is that the case? Because that was what was put officially on the record. We believe, i.e. the cabinet and government, that this is a 100% redress scheme. I think that's a fair and honest question. Do you believe that it is?
It's absolutely not, Greg. It's absolutely not. And we know it's not in terms of the quotes that homeowners are getting. You know, fundamentally, it leaves out stuff. So by the sheer fact that it omits things, it cannot be 100% redressed. So it omits, that we've talked about foundations, they're not included. It also omits other structures. It excludes people who are affected by this issue. It cannot be a 100% redress scheme. The way the government describes the 100% redress is they have a big bracket behind it. It's always like it's 100% except, and then X, Y, Z, da, 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 da. Anybody can say anything's 100% if they have a big bracket behind it, which, you know, has all these exclusions and omissions.
It's 100% redress for about 70% of the costs. If you wanted to play with words, I'm just picking figures out of my head, but not you. If
it really depends on people's circumstances.
Right, I understand for some, listen, it's like, right, we can't live like this anymore. We have to progress. We can scrimp and save or borrow or whatever it might be to move this forward. So there are, and we have to recognise that. And those people shouldn't feel in any way. I don't know what emotions they might feel. That's okay. Everyone has to sort of do what they can do for themselves. So I think even if you feel you can't move forward in the scheme, get into this meeting tonight and ask those questions and tease it out as well, I think, you know. I think it's an important meeting for everybody's
Absolutely.
Different situation.
I think what people need is like a dialogue. I'm aware that a lot of information has been put out in, you know, very sort of large documents. And I think that what people want is maybe more of a dialogue. And that's what we're really offering tonight, is come along. We'll explain to people, you know, if you're not familiar with the scheme and you're just thinking, will I engage? Will I want to engage? What will I do? And I think a lot of people are in that space at the moment. We'll hopefully give that clarity and information. And then all these issues. Yeah, absolutely. We can give people our take on where we're at with all those. And we just, you know, I think the best job we can do at the moment now is inform people to the reality of the scheme. And fundamentally, it is going to be the people's own personal decision on how they handle that and whether they're able to handle that. I mean, we are not going to take our foot off the gas in terms of pressuring government. But unfortunately, the reality is right now is this scheme is the only way forward. If people need or want to move forward, this is what it is at the moment. It's not what we wanted. It's not what people need. Something much better was needed. But unfortunately, that's where it is right now. And we are getting these requests for information. So we're doing our best to kind of fill those gaps in terms of that you know, people seeking that information and just give them the heads up and speak to people as clearly as we possibly can to like lay it all out in front of them.
If someone were to say that this sounds like maybe you're trying to sell this scheme on behalf of the government or you're endorsing this scheme by even holding such a meeting, if someone were to say that to you, what would you say back to them?
No, I mean, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we're not endorsing. This is not to endorse the scheme. This is a response to try and support homeowners because we're getting inquiries by people who just don't know what to do. That there's levels of confusion. There's a lot of information out there. There's hearsay. What we're trying to do is just give people a very clear version of how the scheme works and how we see the situation right now. And, you know, we'll give them a very succinct presentation to try and give them a good idea of how that works and then hopefully have a sort of dialogue.
So just one other question. I'll pretend I'm a homeowner here. I may well be, I don't know. So one of the questions is like, right, okay, so we've seen the money that's being announced, but also I'm reading reports that the cost of a new build has gone through the roof. The cost of materials has gone through the roof. The cost of getting someone on site has gone through the roof. How, even if I were to start down the road of this scheme, there's a huge gap between what has been announced now and what it can end up costing me. What if I lock into a contract with a contractor and, you know, the scheme isn't adapted to sort of take the extra costs into consideration? It could be a 50% scheme for some. So a question like that, is there a simple answer to it?
There's no simple answer to it, unfortunately, Greg. I mean, I would be, you know, the reality is that homeowners are going to, if they want and need to try and move forward using the scheme, they're going to obviously have to work alongside with their building professionals. and see whether they actually can get a realistic way forward. I can't promise people that this is going to work for everybody, and I certainly am not endorsing it in the way it stands at the moment. And that is precisely one of the issues, because there are fundamental financial issues. I mean, we have great issue that the minister did not amend the cap. You know, there was no recognition whatsoever with regard to construction inflation in a cap that was set way back in November 2021. They're talking about amending things maybe down the road, but people need to have the answers now, and it's really not good enough. But, you know, it's a balance between trying not to ignore still this need for information from homeowners. Mm. And unfortunately, every case is almost like an individual scenario. Mm.
Can I ask roughly what percentage of homeowners do you think could achieve 100% redress, honestly, in your opinion? You know, because firstly, you have a house that's worth significantly less than the cap to begin with. Then you have, you know, we haven't really talked about the sliding scale that can kick in. I mean, what percentage of people that MAG represents do you believe could actually achieve 100% redress? I won't hold you to it. It's what you feel in your heart, yeah, asking.
I think because of the way it's structured already with regard to the omissions and exclusions, it's not this 100%.
Yeah, but for redress. What percentage of the people affected might it be 100% redress? The answer is none, isn't it? Is it? The answer is none.
It's really, really hard to put a figure on it, Greg, because...
is it more than none? Is it more than none, do you think? Like, do you think some people can get 100% redress?
I think it's unlikely that... From the homeowners that I'm talking to, in terms of them sharing their build costs with me versus what they're entitled to on the grant...